From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Forgiven and Forgiving, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, High Places of Defense. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 16. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rock. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. The man to whom God has given grace to be of blameless life dwells in perfect security. He dwells on high, above the world, out of gunshot of the enemy, and near to heaven. He has high aims and motives, and he finds high comforts and company. He rejoices in the mountains of eternal love, wherein he has his abode. He is defended by munitions of stupendous rock. The firmest things in the universe are the promises and purposes of the unchanging God, and these are the safeguard of the obedient believer. He is provided for by this great promise, bread shall be given him. As the enemy cannot climb the fort nor break down the rampart, so the fortress cannot be captured by siege and famine. The Lord who rained manna in the wilderness will keep his people in good store, even when they are surrounded by those who would starve them. But what if water should fail? That cannot be. His waters shall be sure. There is a never-failing well within the impregnable fortress. The Lord sees that nothing is wanting. None can touch the citizen of the true Zion. However fierce the enemy, the Lord will preserve His chosen.
Oh, boy.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding the To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is explaining the meaning of the terms in the petition, "And forgive us our debts." Debts refers to offenses committed against us by others. How is the Christian to deal with those who have offended him? Are we to forgive only those who apologize and repent of the wrong they have done us? What is the attitude we are to display toward the offender if he does indeed repent? The answer lies in the meaning of the word, forgive. Now to continue this message, forgiven and forgiving, here is Dr. Cairns.
Our debtors must receive our pardon, because as recipients of God's mercy, we must be willing to show mercy. In Matthew chapter 18, the Lord Jesus speaks of an unmerciful servant who came with a great debt to his master and came under condemnation, and his master forgave him. He wiped out the debt. That unmerciful servant went out, and he met another inferior servant who owed him a paltry little amount of money. And he grabbed him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe me." The man said, "Give me time and I'll pay." He says, "I'll give you no time," and took him and he threw him in jail. And his earthly lord, when he heard about it, came, reversed his decision and said, "You pay every cent that you owe me," and threw him and all that he had in prison. The Lord Jesus said, the moral of that, you must remember the moral of a parable. Don't read other things into it, incidental to the story. The moral of it is, if you're not willing to forgive, then you will not have God's forgiveness. Now, Christians, we ought to remember that. It's very easy to get our backs up, and in our pride and in our selfishness, we isolate ourselves from people who have done us some wrong. But remember, whatever the wrong they have done to us, it is infinitesimally small in comparison to the wrong we have done to our God. And yet He has given us a full and a free and a frank pardon. And He expects us to be a forgiving people. We have received mercy. So we ought to give it. Therefore, the Lord Jesus says, we forgive our debtors. Now, a thought of who the debtors are. Think of this. We forgive our debtors. What does it mean for us to forgive? We have thought of what it means for God to forgive. What does it mean for us to forgive? Well, certainly it has something of the same elements. It means to cease from anger and wrath against those who have wronged us. Now, that's easy to say. But how many people compound an evil by taking a sin which has been committed against them and allowing it to be a trigger to cause greater sin in them? Take the two men I mentioned. The first man was certainly wrong in the words that he used that caused an injury. But the second man was equally wrong in allowing bitterness to be in his heart like a cancer. That's why I said, I wonder what the Lord will have to say to both of them on that day. Cease from anger. Cease from wrath. To forgive is to cease from punishment. Cease from trying to get, in Shakespeare's words, your pound of flesh. That's what it is to forgive. You remember we looked at the word forgive, and it had, in some circumstances, the idea of disregard. Let them go. That's what we pray when we ask God to forgive us our sins. Lord, let them go. Disregard them. When someone sins against you or me, sometimes the most difficult thing is to loosen our own grip of that. My, there is a perverse, almost pleasure in holding on to the memory and the thought of what the people have done to us. And the more we hold on to it, the worse it becomes. Jesus says, let it go. Let it go. That's what it is to forgive. Treat our debtors as far as possible. That's an important rider in the light of what will come to follow. Treat our debtors as far as possible as if they had not offended us. In most cases, the things that people get upset about don't need to take on a life of their own. In most cases, they are things that we can let go and assign to God. If we can't get an earthly solution or resolution, we don't need to keep on tormenting others and ourselves. Let them go and treat the debtors as if they had not offended. And again, where possible, restore to fellowship. We forgive our debtors with all this idea in it. Now that's quite a statement. The Lord's Prayer is the most prayed prayer in the Christian world. Many, many people glibly say, and some say it every day, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, but they have very little personal knowledge of what they're saying. Now, we forgive. That's what the Christian's saying to God. We forgive. We're not implacable. That's a big word. You may put it in an ugly word, unpleasable. Unpacifiable. Those are ugly words, but at least you'll understand the idea behind implacable. You know what it is to deal with people, and no matter what you do, you can never placate their anger. You can never get over the past. You can never sit down and again look each other honestly in the eye and know anything of brotherly love or fellowship or kindness. They will not have it. They are implacable. Now Jesus says, when you pray, forgive us our debts, you're saying, as we forgive our debtors, we are not implacable. We are not vengeful. We are not spiteful. We forgive. Now, let me say to you, that is a very realistic, down-to-earth, understanding of the biblical word love. You hear an awful lot about love in airy-fairy terms. But this is it in real terms. We forgive. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have loved one for another. But how on earth can that be if we cannot forgive one another? The Lord Jesus gives us this. We have debtors, but we forgive our debtors. When we come to God to pray, we are making this a statement of fact. Lord, we are saying, you know our hearts, you look into our souls, we are telling you the truth, we forgive our debtors. That's what we're saying to God. Now, that's a statement that raises very difficult questions. Must we forgive all our debtors? Even the obstinate, even those who continue in their wicked behavior toward us? Or do we forgive those who repent? Then, if we say we forgive all our debtors, must we never seek redress for wrongs done to us? Must there never be any legal satisfaction either in the church or in the courts? Big questions. And the answer to them lies in understanding the meaning of the word forgive. Now, as far as possible, when we forgive, we have the Lord for our pattern. His manner of forgiving is the pattern that we seek to follow. Now, I have to say we seek to follow, and I have also to say that there's a world of difference between divine and human forgiveness. They are not exact parallels. Ours is a fuzzy image. Take the example that the image of God is in man, but the image is infinitely inferior to the original. Even in man's perfect state. And so our forgiveness is in the image of divine forgiveness, but it's different in kind and it's different in degree. It's different in ability and even in responsibility. But with all the differences, we must seek to follow the Lord's procedures and patterns and precepts as far as possible. So, in real life terms, what does this mean? We forgive. Do we forgive everyone who sins against us, or just those who repent of what they have done? And can we never seek redress? Well, let's say this. There's a sense in which we forgive every single one. And that's the sense in which we have no right to be spiteful or vengeful. Take again the example I gave you. The first man sinned, but the second man sinned when he harbored spite and bitterness. I will not say revenge, for there was never any indication of that. But those are things that in themselves are wrong. If you sin against me, it may hurt. And I be honest with you, I'm not Superman, and I'm certainly not glorified. When that happens, the natural response is anger. And the natural inclination is to retain that anger. But it must not be. It must not be. There is such a thing as righteous indignation, but there's a lot of times when we hide behind that text and there's nothing very righteous about our indignation. We have no right to be vengeful. In that sense, we forgive all. Did not Jesus say, love your enemies? Even your enemies? Now, by definition, your enemies are people who are hurtful. They are people who are against you. They are people who therefore do you wrong. They are people who sin against you. They are your debtors of the worst kind. But Jesus did not say get mad, get angry, or get even. He said love your enemies. Therefore, yes, we must forgive all in the sense that we do not retain anger, bitterness, or vengeance. The Lord has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Peter said, hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He did no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, that sin against him, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We must not be vengeful. But the aspect of forgiveness that reconciles an offender to the offended person and brings them together in fellowship, I have to be honest from Scripture and say that is not always possible. God himself does not bring into fellowship those who obstinately refuse to repent. Now, as of this moment, he suspends vengeance. God does not drop every offender into hell at this moment. He holds off wrath. He still gives the wicked sunshine and rain and every temporal blessing, health and strength and time and opportunity to hear the gospel and to repent. He holds off vengeance, but he does not restore to fellowship with him or give a place in heaven to those who obstinately refuse to repent. And there is an exact parallel in human relationships, even in church relationships. It is not always possible to effect reconciliation for the simple reason that one or sometimes both of the parties are obstinate, stubborn, carnal, if you want it. And even we could go further and say that to imagine that there may be and to say that there should be reconciliation despite serious unconfessed or unrepented sin may be totally against what the Bible demands.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.